Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. It's the sports doctor, Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports, fitness, wellness, and good health. We've got a great doubleheader live from Australia. Sue Williams returns. She is the founder and CEO of Sports Hypnotherapy, an advocate for holistic health solutions. And then David Collier, he's an author of Ecocide, a series of books dealing with world-threatening megatrends like climate change, AI, other types of crises, will be joining me. Then the sports doctor's in. Some questions. Sue Williams from Australia. Welcome back to the sports doctor.
Thank you so much, Dr. Bob. It's a pleasure being back here.
Give us some background, Susan, on yourself and your world of sports hypnosis.
Yes, I've been into holistic health for many years now. I started off with mindfulness and it just ended up with me being qualified as a clinical hypnotherapist. But my passion is with sport. Personally, it's the equestrian sports, but my practice helps athletes, teams in any sport whatsoever. The core of the getting into that positive winning mindset is across the board for all sports. So that's what got me into it. I saw there was a real need for equestrians. And we are a little bit different because we have that extra partner in our sport, which is the horse. And right. The horse obviously has its own mindset. So we have to deal with that in a logical and compassionate way.
You know, it's interesting, Susan, like when we spoke the last time 4 or 5 months ago, the mental game is a huge topic on the sports doctor. Whether I have on sports psychologists, whether I have on psychiatrists, mental trainers, holistic, Eastern various cultures, the tremendous mental health side. And what's interesting, and you mentioned it on some of your information, you know, in the last Olympics, this tremendous return of Simone Biles and all of the publicity over the challenge she had in the previous Olympics and what she was able to do to overcome Michael Phelps with his, you know, the tremendous gold medal champion swimmer and his tremendous attention again to mental health. So what 20 years ago, 25 years ago, sometimes in sports was considered semi-voodoo, now is a big deal and hypnosis, big part of it. Again, like you said, whether it's trying to recover from illness, high performance, like you said, get in the mindset. So give us some points of that makes hypnosis stand out.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. And we find when the Olympics are on, everyone wants to watch them. They watch their own sports, but they also watch others because it's a showcase for such a wide range of sports, and we have so many different ones now in the Olympics. But that's what makes everyone think, well, why are these people up there? Why are they getting the gold medals and I'm still jogging around the track? Or, I'm trying to lift these weights and I just never get any further. I've got a coach, but the coach can only do so much. And you're right, the media has really honed in on the mindset aspect for athletes. And it is huge, and people are realising now that it's equally important to the physical training. If you haven't got that right mindset, it doesn't matter how much you do with the physical training, you'll never reach peak performance. And that's where the hypnotists and the hypnotherapists now are really coming to the fore, because we don't just talk at the people. we get down into their subconscious mind, find their limiting beliefs. Why do they always come up short? What is that key reason? And by accessing the subconscious mind, we do more than just their coach by telling them, you know, train harder, eat better, sleep more, which are all important. But if you don't get rid of that limiting belief that stops you every time, then you're never going to excel. But
well, you know, these tools, Susan, that, yes, these various tools that are used. I've had figure skaters who were doing visualization 20 years ago, meditation, relaxation, all sorts of points once it was realized that these systems can be trained. And that was a big surprise to many athletes, coaches, and parents. And it's interesting, you know, some of my best figure skaters, all three sisters, that were also equestrians. So I was putting orthotics in their figure skates, and I was putting orthotics in their boots while they were on the stirrups of the horse.
Yep.
And, of course, again, the mental side of dealing with a 2,000-pound animal or something like that, I could see why you would be, you know, that it would be a big part of the training when it would be coming to the, you know, the equestrian sides of things. So are you teaching these athletes how to include self-hypnosis as part of maybe their sessions, or what are some of the ABCs of the tool of hypnosis for these athletes?
Oh, yes. Well, what we do is initially we find out what their limiting beliefs are, what that root cause is for them not excelling. Once we work through that and they have realized that and have got rid of the negatives and installed new positive mindset, then we can say, well, you will be able to do this for yourself. And the new term now, of course, is being in the zone. When you're in the zone, you are hypnotizing yourself. It's self-hypnosis, telling yourself all the positives, how you're going to win, how you're going to beat that competitor that always gets ahead of you just at the as you're crossing the line. It's this reinforcing that positive mental attitude that the athletes learn, take with them to the track or the sports ground, whichever sport it happens to be, and it's this ongoing process. They can keep themselves up in that really positive zone, and then they win. It's worth so many yards to them in the physical world. If they have got that positive mindset, then they gain that edge over their competitors, and it's just amazing.
Is that golfer, Susan? Yeah, the golfer who's trying to say that he can follow a terrible shot. You know, again, golf was one of the sports that was using sports psychology very, very early on.
Mm-hmm.
And many other sports weren't, but that was one of the fun thoughts, which was, can you forget that lousy last shot that you just took? And, you know, move on with that very, whether you're getting in the batter's box, standing on the baseline of a tennis court, or whether you're going up and down on a basketball, whatever the sport happens to be. Again, the mental game's a big deal. What's the best website, Susan, people could find out about you and your work?
I have two. One is dedicated to my athletes, and that's sporthypnotherapy.com. And I also now have one which is for anyone, executives, athletes as well, but and other people who want to really lift their game just in their general life, improve relationships, improve their work, improve just the way they feel about themselves. And that's...
Yeah, deal with discomfort. You know, we had one of the contributors to my book, Robert Andrews, a mental coach at the Institute of Sports Performance in Houston, Texas. His specialty really is dealing with athletes, dealing with their injuries. You know, dealing mentally, you know, with, you know, oh, man, I'm hurt again. And, you know, Jesus. And do you find the cooperation of medicine, coaches, parents? Because I'd have to ask you how your sports psychology skills are when you're working with some of these parents or coaches.
Yes. I am qualified in sports psychology as well. So that's another aspect. But just with the injuries, It's the funniest thing that you will find someone who has this limiting belief will get to a certain level and then they'll injure themselves. And it's the brain saying, I'm going to stop you. You know you can do better, but I'm going to stop you. So I'm going to get you injured. And you'll see there's a history of this in people who do have the talent, but they've got that, oh, I just can't do it, I can't do it. And the mind says, oh yeah, you can't do it, so I'll injure you to make sure you can't.
Do you still find,
so that's
Susan,
the other aspect.
Yes. Do you still find that the people understanding what hypnosis is, the definition, is still a big challenge in a lot of our sports society?
Oh, it is, for sure. It's getting less of a mystery.
It's only been around 100,000 years, right? How long has hypnosis been around?
I believe it was definitely in the 1800s. Could even have gone back a bit earlier than that, but most definitely it started to be called the names we know now in the 1800s. And, of course, we had Franz Mesmer, as in being mesmerized. So, yeah, it was looked into more seriously then. And then, unfortunately, the medical profession seemed to think, oh, you're coming into our territory, so we're going to not allow that. So it dropped out of favour for a while, but it's definitely coming back now. And the Olympics being such a showcase, and the media...
Of course, it's holistic,
telling
right?
everyone, look at these
there's
athletes.
There's no side effects. It's not, it's not drugs.
That's right.
So it's holistic.
Exactly.
It's healthy. It definitely is not in that realm because, again, you can't, United States, you can't watch television for 3 minutes without seeing a drug commercial. And we all know the tremendous challenge with pain medicine. So this is why, you know, the idea of the awareness, and I'm glad that you mentioned that. I think it's very important that medicine itself has started making much more attention to this. The first athlete ever put orthotics in his baseball in the late 70s, Eric Soderholm of the White Sox, he had a hypnotist that he worked with, and the team thought he was nuts. Team thought he was nuts.
Yep.
Now many teams include, as part of their mental science team, might be including hypnosis, wouldn't you say?
Oh, there are a lot of mental or mindset coaches now in professional sport. Here, with our Australian rules football, many of the teams now have mindset coaches who work alongside their physical coaches. And they're realising that if they have got that mental edge, then they're going to be the ones who win because they'll have that, just when it counts, they're going to have that extra push through the pain barrier, of course, because you can learn that. You can overcome pain that comes with this such high-level sport. You have to push yourself through. But, yeah, these teams now are realising, well, you know, if these other ones haven't got it, we have, and we're going to be the ones who beat
now,
them.
Now, the earlier the better, right? Again, quickly.
Oh, yeah.
As far as age groups that you're dealing with, I would imagine adolescents and young athletes could really benefit.
Definitely. I deal a lot with... what a sport we have here called inter-school sport, and that's dealing with primary school kids, so 9 years of age upwards.
Great,
and to get the kids at that age,
I knew the time would fly with you, Susan.
Things.
I knew the time would fly from Australia. Give me the website again, people could find out about you and the work quickly.
Yep. Thank you. Sporthypnotherapy.com and peakmindset.coach.
Great, Sue Williams. Thank you so much for joining us. Hold on,
thank
Susan.
You.
We'll be right back. Hold on. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. An essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. The
Together we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctors In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parent's perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, Hey Sports Parents. Hey, everybody, welcome back. It is the Sports Doctor here, live from Chicago. I want to welcome David Collier. He's the author of a series, book Ecocide, these world-threatening megatrends like climate change, non-cooperating humans. That's a great one. And the awareness and education. David, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Glad to be here.
You know, your topics, again, sports, non-sports, society. If society doesn't continue, there won't be any sports. Give us some background on yourself and this amazing topic.
Well, I grew up in Lexington, Kentucky, and I have 2 degrees from UK.
I'm a Louisville grad. I'm a Louisville grad.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
I can't talk to you then.
I know. I was going to hang up on you.
And my first degree was engineering and mechanical engineering. And one of the courses that I really enjoyed was thermodynamics. And one of the guys, the professors who taught that, he helped design and check on the heat shield for the Gemini spacecraft. And that tells you how old I am. But I worked in corporate America for a while, went back and got my PhD at Ohio State in a supply chain operation.
So what got you so involved in these potential catastrophes as big topics? And to say the least, they involve everybody.
Yes, a good question. Great question. I'm the child of Sputnik, and so I have always been interested in science. And so from the time I was probably 10 years old, I've been an avid fan of astronomy and all kinds of sciences. And so my hobby my whole life has been reading all kinds of articles on all types of science and astronomy and physics, and that was just, and so from that I learned a lot about the environment and our little planet and how unique it is, and how well over several thousand things have to go just right, and these are big things like having a moon like we have for us to even be here. And then I see all the bickering going on among humans, and I also see climate change and climate and global warming, and I also see AI, unregulated AI coming on board. And what my novel series is, and basically I wanted to champion those things, And what my novel series is about, it's actually five novels. And the website, the author website is theentity.us. And the entity has two E's in it. But what the premise of my novels was as follows.
They're fiction. So, okay, you're using fiction.
Yes.
Again, it's a big, big point how many times fiction is such a great tool to attack all sorts of different topics and be able to get away with it or actually take advantage of it. But in reality, bottom line really with you, you're looking for, you know, to help with your mission is to inspire people to save humanity. So this is what these topics deal with, isn't it?
Yeah, and my novel series is basically Avatar, except the planet is Earth. That's is fiction. So the premise of the novel is, all five novels actually, is climate destruction and global warming, plus our bickering and non-cooperation among tens of thousands of fractionalized human groups. Those two things lead to a lot of chaos.
No kidding.
Such as we might have to move New Orleans or Miami or
immigration. When you have worldwide droughts or flooding, you have a chaos of movement of populations, which is a very, very big deal. And again, you know, it's so important on the Sports Doctor where we have awareness of what we're talking about, education about whatever the topic is, and then, you know, trying to take some sort of action. And, these are big, big deal. Again, it's so local with between the hurricanes and these other factors. How has the cooperation been of the world of authorities to you being attention to these kinds of topics, David?
Well, there are a lot of associations and a lot of groups, scientific groups, science-based groups all over the world that look at global warming and sea level rise and so forth. And you don't have to go any further than right here. I'm in Florida right now, and my insurance has tripled on my home. And Fort Myers Beach had 18 feet of water. Nobody even conceived that 18 feet of water. And when it went back out, there's still 60 cars they can't find. They just drug them right out in the ocean and buried them in the sand. But getting back to the premise, bickering humans and the cost and the chaos of climate destruction and global warming weakens human civilization. Meanwhile, if we don't regulate AI...
When we talked about the relevance on our show about your topics, health and wellness are a big deal. The ability to reduce stress because of trying to prevent these kinds of calamities is a real health and wellness topic. And that's what I really felt was important regarding, you know, the importance of these kinds of awareness, let alone your insurance tripling, right?
Well, good point, Bob. And that's exactly right. The climate and destruction, global warming, and human bickering, it creates a subliminal background level of stress. And that is added onto our everyday stresses and our more immediate and human stresses.
Yes, I find the point of you really paying attention to that term, non-cooperating, bickering humans, is really a powerful topic when you think about it, you know, for like 5 seconds, and let alone after the election. So this constant addition of that also, I think, let alone what AI, you know, we're paying attention to all of these red flags involving what this could be, what it hopefully would be. And so these are, again, some really, really, and I is you know, is again, is fairly recent when it comes to any kind of attention to it.
Well, and right, you don't have to. You can look at the fires in California. You can look at Indonesia. They are moving their capital city from Jakarta to a new site because of heat, lack of water, and sea level rise. Even in Key West, Florida, we've had 8 or 9 inches of sea level rise, and NOAA and quite a few other folks forecast that to be a foot in the next
now, right smack, David, right smack in the middle of sports was a topic after the past Olympics in Paris, which was, what are they going to do involving the climate changes with Summer Olympics when it's 120 degrees out? So even in that particular world, this became, and professional sports dealing with some of these differences in climate, again, it's related.
Yeah, yeah, and I agree. In fact, if you take the NFL's timeout against hate, you could make a great argument that that's trying to negate human bickering and human discord and try to get us to cooperate more. There's many things in sports that, for one thing, endorsements. We could
well,
have all
when
the
I look at your topics and I look at the fact of, again, people trying to be inspired to save humanity, a big word I wrote next to it again was the Olympics. When we could bring together 200 countries with all the bitching and moaning, pardon my French, and bickering, and somehow have a chance for a few weeks to pay attention to what the Olympics means, this is one of the weapons it would seem that we all have to try to, you know, have the positive energy.
Absolutely. And I've
Good luck to us with social media, right, David?
and on the positive side, I've got actions, hundreds of actions that people can take and groups can take on all three of these mega trends. And the issue is these mega trends are converging now. This is not a problem we can put off, oh, another 50 years, 100 years, or oh, this is happening right now, and you can see it in the news every day if you look for it. But let me get to this one point. So in my novel series, I've got these two mega trends that are causing chaos to humanity, and AI is sitting there, and it's getting smarter and smarter, and so it hooks up to our financial system, our health system, our transportation system. And then one day it says, hey, why do I need humanity?
Right.
And it, by the third novel, AI dominates the Earth's biosphere. And there still are a few humans left, but they live underground in caves. The one reason they live underground is the average temperature outside is in the 130, 140 degree Fahrenheit.
Now, I guess if in all the novels somehow you could get to people to stop with the bickering with each other, then they might be able to cooperate to come up with some answers. And I think the fact that you inquire, I would have to imagine the health world, the pandemic stuff, is another gigantic trend that I'd throw into your next novel.
Yeah, well, interesting enough, on the fourth novel, souls, S-O-U-L-S, that have passed away on Earth, they go to another planet with a totally different culture, different bodies, different everything, and they learn how a smarter, intelligent group of entities manage their planet's biosphere, and they learn so much about it. And then in the fifth novel, about 90,000 souls come back to Earth to reclaim Earth as humanity's rightful place in the universe. And there's a little bit more
great
to
story.
Fill in there than I have time for. But
I think the points are profound. Again, awareness of what you're talking about with these ecosystems and how perilous they could be. Education, you know, these organizations, these ideas, the points you bring out that can think can be positively paid attention and looked at. And then again, you know, the positive action, even the attention again to how much cooperation is really, really needed. And that, again, we've got another relationship to sports, which is we need some attention to teammates. You know what I mean?
Well, I played sports, high school sports, some basketball and football, and teamwork. could we learn a lot about teamwork and, you know, sacrificing some of your glory for the purpose of the team. Absolutely. There are a lot of sports stars and teams, they could adopt to go after one of these regulate AI, try to do something on global warming, maybe plant some trees, have the NFL players or the college.
Oh, you're going to talk more about it. I want to ask you more about the whole AI connection when we come back. Everybody, it's the Sports Doc. We'll be right back with David Collier, EcoSide.
The station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, aunt and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Send you that info. Hey, everybody, we're back. Live from Chicago, it is the Sports Doctor. I'm sports podiatrist Dr. Bob Weil. We're talking on this gigantic subject in this topic of ecocide with the author of these novels, David Collier, and talking about these tremendous challenges, whether it's climate change or non-cooperating, bickering humans. And the problems they preserve. And then AI, we were mentioning that right before the break. Talk a little bit more about how you see this being included in these ecocide, the topic of artificial intelligence.
Well, in the first novel, we have automated fast food restaurants. We have automated farm equipment and things like that. In the second novel, we're 500 years in the future, and half of Florida is underwater, and the coast is Lakeland, Florida, which is about halfway up the state. And at that point, we have home comfort robots and a whole bunch of other technology. By the time we get to the third novel, humanity has been run off and killed by heat and a million other things. And so there are very few humans, and they live underground. And so in the third novel, they run out of fuel, and they have to try to steal fuel from the robot nation. The robot nation is called the Imperium, and they are robots and not necessarily in perfect human form. They have a head, but it's
but they're the extreme. They're the extreme of what AI led us to, if we allow that, which is this side of waking up, realizing where AI says, "Who needs humans?" Right?
That's right. Right.
And there's a lot of brilliant people who are very worried about that. The leaders of all of our industries, the creators.
Elon Musk,
I could go
on and on. There's so Bill Gates, Elon Musk, there's a lot of great people that are warning us about we need to regulate AI from day one. Absolutely. Just let me mention to you, Europe is probably a decade ahead of us. They've passed for the whole European Union, the Digital Market Act in 23 and the Digital Service Act in 22. And if you get in and read that in detail, there's a lot of actions and a lot of things rules and regulations they take. The other place you can find where people are trying to regulate AI is, as we would normally expect, California usually is a little bit ahead of the rest of the country.
Well, a good example, too, David, is the enigma of trying to deal with the world of social media. And, what regulate, how, if, maybe, could be, might be, and the same kinds of tremendous, and all of a sudden it's overwhelmed us in so many areas. And I think one of the points of worry about AI is, again, can we stay ahead of the kinds of challenges it presents, which we really didn't do with this whole internet world, I would think.
Yeah, I agree. And, California has passed several Senate bills to try to regulate parts of AI, not all of it. But one thing any citizen can do, and especially sports figures, is to ask our elected officials. And of course, we now have a whole new set of elected officials. What's your policy on AI? How are you going to regulate it? And some of the in this country right now, a lot of the politicians would look at you and go, "Oh, I hadn't thought of that." Well, we better start thinking of it.
Its effect on that term you used early on, where you talked about the importance in all areas, the biosphere. And that whole area, that world, and AI, again, involved probably in every part of that, one way or another.
Yeah, Earth's biosphere is our oceans, our air, and our land. So basically, it's everything on the surface of the Earth. And that's
what kind of backlash, if any, have you run into as you paid this kind of attention, for example, to climate change?
Well, actually,
after you, David?
No, they haven't.
Good.
No,
I'm
they
glad
haven't.
To hear that.
On the global warming, I've been a student of this for 40 or 50 years, so I pretty well have I am a scientist basically, and so I have a lot of NOAA and a whole bunch of European Union and NASA. There's a whole lot of places you can go. And if you just look at one of them, I don't believe them. Or maybe I'm skeptical. But once you get seven or eight or nine scientific communities independently verifying temperature or sea level or toxicity or whatever, methane or whatever, as long as you got some facts behind you, then you're okay. But one thing I was going to say is, get out there and challenge our elected officials at the city, local level, county, state, federal level. What are you doing to regulate AI? And do you see it as a threat, or do you see it as something that could destroy or fractionalize humanity? In other words, and you're talking about social media.
Yes. And again, in your novels, again, this bickering, non-cooperating humans, big topic that I really think people should pay big. There's no way to deal with any of this stuff from A to Z unless somehow we can get a handle. And it ain't easy. It's such a polarized society and world in so many ways I think it's a key topic. I know the time would fly with you. David, give us the information to find out about you and your books and your work.
Well, Bob, before I do that, everything you just said, I exactly agree with.
Quickly, and, David, we're running out of time.
Yeah, and sports teams, sports leaders, they could lead the charge on that, and people would pay attention when sports people did
Great
that.
Great point.
You can get my book. It's Earth's Exocide, Extinction 3147, and it's on Amazon. It's on Atmosphere Press and Barnes & Noble. And you can also look at my author webpage, which is www.theentity.us.
Great. Hold on, David. David Collier again, Ecocide. We'll be right back with the Sports Doctors In segment. Hold on, Dave. The Sports Doctors.
Okay.
Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com.
Radio. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hey everybody, welcome back live from Chicago. It is the Sports Doctors In segment where we preview some upcoming guests and topics, answer a few emails, add some Dr. Bob wisdom. By the way, everybody, this is Diabetes Awareness Month. Diabetes is a real, real big deal. It's a major scourge in our society. Amputations, big complication, many times of undiagnosed diabetes. So we want people to pay big attention. Diet, lifestyle, exercise, so important in all aspects. Great shows coming up. Next week, Dr. Josh McConkey. He is a combat veteran, long-term emergency room doctor, adding so much input whether it's armed services medicine, whether it's all sorts of aspects of things picked up prevention-wise, treatment-wise in the emergency room. And Mark Prensky, This guy has been sending out emails and information, all things involving kids. His new attention is to third millennium kids will be joining me the following week. Dr. Philip Agrius, self-sabotage prevention, again, the mental game in so many ways, so important, on the Sports Doctor. And then Bill Williams, going to throw in some internet humor, and with his thoughts for the day email, he's been involved in all aspects of media, a lot of great input in and out of sports. I want to remind everybody my new website, thesportsdoctorradio.com. Part of that is the fact that we're going to be reemerging our consulting for sports parents. You'll see more and more information on that with the Sports Doctor Is In website coming up, thesportsdoctorradio.com. Dr. Bob Wisdom for today, again, get back to the basics, include strengthening feet and ankles. If you have a son or daughter who's an athlete, whatever their sport is, whatever their age or level, you will really benefit from strengthening those feet and ankles, whether it's working with tilt boards, standing on unstable surfaces, learning how to include rubber band exercises. Very, very important. Ankle injuries, still number one in all areas of sports. Quickness, stability, balance starts with the feet. Strengthen those feet and ankles. A couple emails. Pat says, my 12-year-old son's been plagued with big toe ingrown toenails. You have mentioned permanent correction. Yes, Pat, one of the most common procedures done in podiatry offices, called a P&A procedure, standing for phenol alcohol procedure. It is permanently getting rid of the ingrown toenail. The rest of the toenail is left alone. Only the edge is removed. Very important to understand, Pat, that the growth centers of the toenail are behind the cuticle. And even in that corner, as long as the growth center is left, that edge will regrow, re-aggravate an area, sometimes causing persistent infections, other kinds of problems. So if that's the problem of persistent problems, the podiatrist will numb that part of the toe up, remove that offending edge, cauterize the growth cell so that the ingrown toenail doesn't grow back. Very successful procedure. Celia says, I'm a runner, 35 years old. I want to ask about orthotics because I've had persistent Achilles tendon problems. Orthotics is one of the best weapons, along with what I just mentioned in my Dr. Bob segment, strengthening all aspects of that foot and ankle. Achilles tendon is a big part of it. But the foot mechanics, whether there's excessive stress on that high arch foot, or more commonly, excessive stress on an overpronated foot, orthotics are a big weapon. For decades, I have used orthotics to solve persistent Achilles tendon problems. So you want to look at that big time as a possibility, not an over-the-counter insert, although it can be helpful. Superfeet is one of my faves. Dr. Scholes, but a prescription orthotic is the gold program. And especially, you might want to be a walker for a while and not try to run or push through that problem. A couple of points here. Two of my sports doctors in segments are involved monthly with the show out of British Columbia called Run With It with Christine Blanchet. She was just the guest on the Sports Doctor a few weeks ago. Gosh, at least the past 5 years, once a month, Sports Doctors In, we talk about all aspects of Sports Doctor, whether it's what's the best shoe, whether it's dealing with specific running-related injuries, whether it's dealing with youth sports injuries, et cetera, et cetera. And What's Your Racket? A YouTube senior tennis show hosted by my longtime friend, ex-baseball pitcher, Lou Vickery. Lou, with his successful series of books and all aspects of mental motivation. He had a radio show called Lou in the Morning on the Panhandle. And once a month, we'd show up, and the sports doctor would be in. We would talk about all sorts of concerns and problems, youth baseball, all sorts of youth sports. Now this is dealing with tennis in all ages, including senior tennis. What's your racket? Well, Lou brings together some coaches. I spend time with them where we're talking again about whether it's the highest levels of tennis, and again, talking about the importance of all aspects of sports podiatry and sports medicine. You know, tennis long has been one of the most demanding physical sports. As I'm mentioning this, I'm thinking about one of those five-hour matches, maybe Rafa Nadal and Novak Djokovic in the past. You know, we would have a contest on the sports doctor once, twice a year. And the question was, for listeners, what sports require the best athletes? It's a great question. It's got a lot of different. There would be, we would get the defensive back in football. We would get NBA players, basketball. We would get soccer players with all that running. We would get water polo, where you try to tread water. At the time of the contest, we were dealing with Olympic gold medalist Evan Lysacek, so figure skating was thrown in, but always we would receive plenty of votes for the best athlete being in the world of tennis. So all aspects we might be talking about when we're dealing with what's your racket. You know, it's as popular today as it was 4.5 years ago when we launched the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. It's available on Amazon. My co-author, Olympic volleyball champion, team volleyball member, Sharky Zartman. She's also a kinesiology coach at one of California's leading schools. But the topics in the book, so important. Sports medicine, all different ways, nutrition, training. Hashtag a sports parent. Thanks, everybody. Catch you next week. It's the Sports Doctor. Thank you.